Hello and welcome to Digital Insights featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. Today I want to talk to you about the challenges surrounding creating compelling calls to action, because every website should have some form of call to action, a response that you want users to complete. But how do you encourage them to act? How do you create an effective call to action? That's the topic of today's podcast, and it's a long one, so settle in. Almost all websites have some form of call to action, don't they? From signing up to a newsletter to submitting a contact form. However, getting a user to complete a call to action is more complicated than you would first think. There are many factors at play to consider. Conversion rate optimization is not only about your design or copy. It's about every aspect of your business, from pricing to how you run projects. It requires a deep understanding of user behavior and psychology, as well as a relentless focus on testing. Now, that's far too much to address in a single podcast, but it is the subject of my online video masterclass, How to Encourage Users to Complete Calls to Action. If you want to know more about that, check it out at boagworld.com/masterclass. However, for this little podcast, let's focus on optimizing the copy and design aspects of conversion. The first thing to note is that users don't go from zero to clicking a call to action in a single step. Take, for example, the buying process on an e-commerce site. This is a journey that involves a number of different steps, including discovering a need, researching your different options, placing an order, receiving a delivery, and then, of course, after-sale support. An experience that happens over an extended period of time and involves many visits to a website. The result of this extensive journey is that it may be necessary to present users with different calls to action at various points in the journey. For example, while researching a purchase, we may wish to encourage users to sign up for a newsletter so that they don't forget about us when the time comes to place an order. Equally, after a user has placed an order, we want to make it clear how they can look up their order status to reduce our support call costs. However, there is another factor at play here too. Not all calls to action are equally valuable to those running the site. An e-commerce site may want to push users towards a particular product that offers a higher margin or upsell additional items to increase the average order value. All of this means that a well-designed site has to do a lot more than offer a prominent button to click. How then do we create a compelling call to action that encourages conversion? And that's where this guide comes in. It outlines all of the critical factors that influence the effectiveness of a call to action. Factors such as the timing of your call to action, the quality of your supporting copy, the design of your call to action, the post call to action experience. But let's begin by looking at the timing of your call to action. Understanding where the user is on their journey is crucial to the success with your calls to action. For example, asking them to sign up for a newsletter when they're about to make a purchase is nothing but a dangerous distraction. However, asking them to do so on their first visit before they're ready to commit makes a lot more sense. Even then, it's essential to be careful. Displaying a newsletter overlay the moment somebody arrives on your site is going to reduce your conversion rate. The user will not have had time to look around your site to decide whether they want to actually sign up to anything. Not that picking the right moment is limited to newsletter signups. Asking people to share content on social media or complete a survey are all best left until the user has completed their primary task. There is also picking the right moment to upsell your product if you're an e-commerce site. Asking users whether they want to add batteries or some other accessory to their order makes sense at the shopping cart stage, but pushing an entirely different category of products doesn't. All of this comes down to having a firm grasp of the user's journey, something primarily achieved through things like customer journey mapping and user research. However, tagging people who visit your site through the use of cookies can help too. Storing related information on the user in cookies cached on the computer can help us to tailor the timing of calls to action better. For example, if no cookie exists, there's a good chance that the user is visiting the site for the first time, and it might be worth emphasizing the newsletter sign up. If a user has previously visited a specific part of the site, then a call to action should relate to that. If the user has purchased in the last few days, emphasizing order tracking is appropriate. The list goes on. However, cookies are not the only tool at our disposal for better targeting our calls to action. Every user is logged in, there's a wealth of information we can draw upon from previous orders to average visit duration. We can also target calls to action based on where the user is on the site. For example, when a user has just completed a purchase, instead of showing them the continue shopping confirmation page, give them the option to sign up to social media or the newsletter. We can even tailor the messaging to relate to the product they've just purchased. For example, if the users have just bought a camera, the call to action might read, for advice on making the most of your camera, sign up for our newsletter. The copy associated with calls to action is one of the most significant influencing factors in conversion, which is why we must carefully consider the wordings we use. Whether we're trying to encourage newsletter sign-ups or the purchasing of a particular product, the copy associated with that call to action is obviously crucial in conversion. Unfortunately, the drive to improve conversion often leads to copy being exaggerated, and ultimately that undermines rather than improves conversion. There's a growing trend among online retailers towards increasingly exaggerated claims in an attempt to grab users' attention. Often referred to as clickbait, this kind of copy will undermine conversion in the long term. Although it's true that attention-grabbing headlines do indeed grab attention, it comes at a cost if those headlines are unable to deliver on their claims. This kind of copy undermines trust, which is a crucial ingredient to encouraging conversion. If your company exaggerates in its text, users will worry that the company will fail to deliver in their products or services. That said, the copy can still be attention-grabbing. However, it needs to balance that with delivering on its promises. These kinds of balances occur time and again when it comes to writing content that converts. Take, for example, the idea of focusing on benefits rather than features. For a long time, marketing has focused on selling the benefits of a product rather than its features. They emphasize how a product will benefit the consumer and improve their experience rather than just listing a load of features. Focusing on benefits sounds like an approach that makes a lot of sense, as it doesn't require the user to think about how the features would benefit them. For example, a company could emphasize its 12-hour battery life for its laptop, which is a feature. However, a consumer doesn't really care how many hours the battery lasts for. What they care about is, will the computer run out of power before they finish using it, which is the benefit. Therefore, traditional marketing would argue that you emphasize the benefit in preference to the feature. Although this approach still applies online, a degree of caution is required. Users come to a site with specific questions in mind and are looking for answers to those questions. So if that question is, how long does the battery last, a vague promise about it keeps working as long as you do isn't going to satisfy users. It's therefore vital that benefits and features are presented together on a website if you want to have the best chance of converting. Admittedly, this makes your copy longer, but we should always be favouring clarity over conciseness. Now, if you ask a user experience designer, they'll explain that people don't read online, and that's indeed true. Instead, we tend to scan copy looking for key phrases that answer whatever question it is we have about a product. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that our copy has to be short. Instead, the content needs to be as long as it needs to be to make its case and no longer. Users will stop scanning to read a relevant piece of text that actually answers their question. To aid clarity while supporting scannability, introduce some kind of structure into your copy. Make use of headings, subheadings, lists, pull-out quotes and other typographic aids to break up larger blocks of text and allow users to identify the parts of the copy that are relevant to them as quickly as possible. That said, avoid seeing the need for clarity as an excuse for verbose copy. Users will quickly lose patience with your copy if it repeats itself or fails to address their questions. They have an unusually low tolerance for copy that feels like an attempt to aggressively sell at them. So once again, this trend of verbose copy undermines trust. You see, whatever your call to action, it will almost certainly involve a great deal of trust on the part of users. Trust that you will deliver on your promise. Trust that we will keep their data safe. Trust that we will respect the boundaries of the agreement. Building trust is therefore a critical component in encouraging action, and one that is shaped by numerous factors, not least the copy we write. However, the trustworthiness of our copy is not merely about its truthfulness. It's also about its tone of voice. The text can come across as manipulative, impersonal, and aggressively pursuing a sale if you don't get it right. It's true that particular language does tend to convert better. Using language that encourages action, language like buy now or last chance, will increase conversion. It's also true that emotionally charged wordings such as breakthrough, astonishing, or surprise tend to grab attention. However, if used without subtlety, they can undermine the trustworthiness of a site and, by extension, its calls to action. Even worse, the copy on many websites just lacks any kind of humanity. They use phrases that one would never hear in everyday conversation, and that leaves the user with the impression that they're being asked to buy from some faceless corporation, not a passionate team of people. Balancing compelling copy with a human tone of voice isn't always particularly easy, and it comes only with much practice and testing. However, as a general rule, lean towards writing in a personal, open, and matter-of-fact tone of voice. As users become ever more sophisticated and aware of these manipulative techniques we're seeing online, they're going to routinely warm to more honest, human copy. Not that copy is the only consideration when creating compelling calls to action, design plays a critical role too. Cognitive load makes it very easy for users to overlook critical visual cues on your website. If a user is in a rush, distracted, or struggling to use the website, then they could easily miss your call to action entirely. How then can we optimize our calls to action to assure that they're immediately apparent to even the most overwhelmed of users? Well, there are six techniques that are available to us, and we begin with positioning. Correctly positioning a call to action can have a significant impact on visibility and, in turn, conversion. However, positioning is not merely a matter of displaying your call to action high on the page. There are other factors to consider as well. One crucial factor is how users scan a page. In countries where users read from top to bottom and left to right, people start in the top leftmost corner and scan down the left-hand side of a page. When something grabs their attention, they scan horizontally across the page. This approach to scanning favors the left-hand side of the page over the right, and that means a call to action often performs better on the left, even if it's lower on the page. Another factor that will improve conversion is positioning the call to action in the central content area, and that's because that's where the user's attention is primarily focused. Users are interested in the content of the page, and so they give it considerably more attention than things like headers, footers, and sidebars. A call to action placed in the flow of the main body of a page will normally outperform the same call to action in the header or high on a sidebar, even if the call to action is lower on the page. In fact, in some situations, it's preferable to place a call to action lower on a page. As I discussed earlier when I was talking about picking your moment, choosing the time to ask a user to act will have a significant impact on your conversion. And in some situations, this need to pick the right moment can mean waiting until the user has viewed some of the page before asking them to act. An excellent example of this is signing up to a newsletter on a blog. If you place the call to action at the top of the page, the user may not have seen any content to judge whether or not they're ready to subscribe. Waiting until they've read at least some of the content on the page makes more sense. Working out the optimal vertical position for your call to action is not always easy. Too high and the user might not be ready to respond, but equally there's no guarantee that a user will scroll the entire page. In truth, they often do, but in doing so, they routinely skip content in the middle. The best solution to this problem is to run some kind of heat map software on your site to get a sense of how much users are scrolling on critical pages and where their attention lingers. That's important because other factors can also influence where a user's attention settles, not just scroll position. The position of a call to action does not exist in isolation. Other page elements heavily influence it. Surrounding text, video, or stylistic elements will all either draw the eye towards or away from a call to action. We can most clearly see this in the relationship between our call to action and imagery. People find imagery considerably easier to process than text, and as a result, photographs and illustrations unconsciously draw our attention. This phenomenon is even more exaggerated if the imagery contains people, and in particular faces. We're programmed to pay specific attention to faces, and so we tend to skip directly to a face when it's displayed on a page. The power that imagery has to attract attention can either be beneficial or detrimental to your conversion rate. For example, if you closely associate an image with a call to action, then this increases its visibility and therefore improves conversion. However, if there's a disconnect between the image and the call to action, the user's eye will often skip directly to the image, ignoring the call to action entirely. The ability of images to draw our attention is so powerful that if we place a call to action in a prominent left-hand column but have an image in the lesser right-hand column, the eye will skip over the call to action straight to that image. The obvious conclusion is to associate imagery with the call to action closely. However, there's another factor at play. It's also necessary to consider the content of the imagery itself. Visual cues in the image can either draw the user's attention to or away from the call to action. For example, if the image contains a person, we will tend to follow that person's eye line. If they're looking towards the call to action, that's great. That's where people will look. But if they're looking away from the call to action, the chances are users will miss your call to action entirely. However, this doesn't just apply to people, it also applies to any element within an image that indicates direction or flow. That might be something obvious like an arrow pointing or something subtle like some architectural detail drawing an eye in a specific direction. It helps to think of imagery as exerting a gravitational pull on users' attention. The idea of screen elements applying this kind of pull to user attention is also useful when considering negative space. When it comes to the prominence of a call to action, the absence of competing elements is as powerful as a well-designed call to action itself. Users often spend less than 8 seconds assessing a page, and that limited attention means that every element on a page potentially distracts from the call to action. And one response is to reduce the number of screen elements on a page dramatically, and indeed this will improve conversion. However, this approach can only be taken so far. An alternative approach maximizes the amount of space immediately around your call to action. Doing so leaves the eye with nothing else to latch onto, and so the call to action draws their attention. The approach of minimizing distractions will inevitably improve conversion even on a relatively weak call to action. However, increasing the prominence of the call to action itself is also going to be beneficial. Although obvious, the benefit of creating a big, bold call to action can't be overstated. Size does have a significant impact on the visibility and, by extension, your conversion rate. A subtle design approach is rarely beneficial when it comes to a call to action. That said, size is not just about being eye-catching. A massive call to action offers a secondary benefit too. It allows the introduction of more compelling messaging. Take, for example, a buy now button for something like, I don't know, a gaming controller. The message on these buttons typically is short because the real estate is constrained. However, if the button is made larger, it could say something like, buy now to become a better gamer. That additional space allows for a significantly more compelling call to action in terms of messaging. Of course, it's entirely possible to include the additional information in supporting copy. However, it's not unusual for users to read buttons and links out of context. In other words, they fail to read the accompanying messaging. By associating the message into the button itself, it ensures users see it. Not that size is the only way to draw attention, we can also utilize color. It's possible to use color to draw attention to a call to action by contrasting the color of that call to action to the rest of the site. For example, if the predominant colour scheme on a website is blue, then using a different colour can help that call to action stand out. Now, there's much debate about what colour you should use to optimise conversion, which one works best. And in truth, there are many factors, including cultural differences, that affect how people respond to colour. For example, red decreases conversion in many Western countries due to its association with danger. However, in China, red is associated with prosperity and luck, resulting in a very different reaction. That said, one consistent is that using a contrasting color will have the most visual impact. In other words, try to select a color on the opposite side of the color wheel to the primary color of your site. The only danger with using color to draw attention to a call to action is that we don't all see color in the same way. 8% of men and 0.6% of women are colorblind, which can impact the effectiveness of this technique depending on the colors you choose. It's therefore advisable to use color alongside other techniques to draw attention, techniques such as, say, animation. Because animation is a powerful tool for grabbing user attention when it is used with care. In a static environment, like a web page, we're programmed to notice even the most subtle movement. Simply put, movement draws our attention. However, like imagery, animation can be dangerous if it's misused. Continually looping an animation, for example, can prove distracting, and that prevents users from focusing on other messaging. Overusing animation can significantly undermine its effectiveness. Users become blind to it and they filter it out. It's best to use animation with subtlety. Avoid looping animation, but instead trigger on load or when the user scrolls. If it does loop, make sure that there are long gaps between each of those loops. Ultimately, no one technique will substantially increase conversion. However, combining these techniques will significantly increase the visibility of your calls to action and therefore your conversion rate. That said, it's essential that we don't fixate entirely on encouraging action. We also need to carefully think about what happens when the user does actually click. Anybody who's run an e-commerce site for any length of time is familiar with the dropout that inevitably occurs when a user adds a product to the basket or when they start the checkout process. A user expressing an interest in completing a call to action is no guarantee of conversion. It is therefore crucial that we give careful consideration to the post-click experience. In particular, four areas need attention. However, the most important of these is to remove distractions. There are good reasons why Amazon remove all unnecessary user interface elements once a user begins the checkout process. Users can easily be distracted at this crucial moment in the conversion funnel, and so it's essential to focus them to ensure that they complete the process. Now, it's tempting to use this as an opportunity to upsell additional items or bundle in other calls to action, such as newsletter sign-up. However, each of these elements adds another choice, so increasing cognitive load and the likelihood users will abandon the process. Any screen element not directly associated with completing the conversion process increases cognitive strain on users. Individually, these additions have a minor impact, but collectively they add up, making it more likely the user will give up. That is especially true when you're trying to reach an audience who are already under pressure from other areas, such as workload or family distractions, or when there is a more straightforward competitor site just a click away. Not that it's always possible to remove all complexity from the process, and that's where positive reassurance can become essential. One powerful tool in encouraging users to complete the conversion process is positive reinforcement. As soon as a user clicks a call to action, it's essential to confirm the user's commitment to convert and encourage them to take a positive step. This kind of reinforcement works for two reasons. The first is the consistency principle, which states that people have a strong psychological need to be consistent with prior actions. In other words, if they have been seen to be committed to the process, they feel the need to follow that process through to its conclusion. By acknowledging the fact that the user has begun the process, they're more likely, as a consequence, to complete it. However, secondly, it's important to acknowledge that this is typically a high-stress moment for users, especially when it's making a financial commitment. People are very loss-averse. They feel the emotional impact of parting with a payment twice as much as they feel the positive feeling associated with making a purchase. That means we need to offset this loss bias by reassuring the user that they've made the correct choice and making a purchase is the right decision. However, our need to reassure shouldn't stop there. Depending on the call to action, completing the conversion process may require many steps on behalf of the user. It may require providing extensive personal and financial details or making various choices to do with the configuration of the product itself. However, whatever the case, this kind of complexity increases cognitive strain and the chance that the user will abandon the process even after reducing the necessary steps to the bare minimum. Fortunately, users are more likely to complete a conversion process if they feel a sense of momentum. In other words, they feel like they're making positive progressions towards the end goal. With that in mind, it's vital to reassure the user at every step along the way. Don't wait until the user has submitted a form to validate it and tell them whether they've been successful. Instead, reassure them by providing positive feedback as they enter each field on the form. Also, give them a sense of how far they are through the process and how much further they've got to go. In short, continually communicate with the user to give them a sense of progression. This principle of ongoing communication even applies once the user has reached the end of the sales funnel. Even once the conversion process has been completed, there's still a danger that a user will pull out. In many cases, there's a delay for delivery to happen, and in most countries, there's a cooling off period that allows people to change their minds if they've bought online. We can reduce the likelihood of this happening by communicating with them regularly during that vulnerable period. This kind of communication should provide positive reinforcement, but most importantly, a sense of control. Making a purchase creates anxiety. Our natural response to anxiety is to control the situation. However, when we're a passive player, merely waiting for a delivery, we don't have that option, and so our anxiety grows. We can create a sense of control by providing users with information about what's going on. If we provide people with information, they feel a sense of control and that reduces their anxiety. That principle is clear to see if you read the comments associated with your average Kickstarter campaign. These campaigns require a user to wait a prolonged time for delivery of their product, and that creates a lot of anxiety. The result is a constant stream of comments demanding updates. Clear communication will reduce this kind of anxiety. As will be apparent by now, communication is just one of many techniques and principles that will help to improve the conversion rate of any site. However, it is the details of their implementation that dictate success or failure. What approach best addresses those nuances of implementation will be dependent on your audience, and that's why understanding one's audience is so important. However, the only real way to understand how users will respond is to trial approaches through techniques such as multivariate testing, a subject addressed elsewhere in these podcasts.